Welcome to Let's Talk About Tests Baby, a weekly podcast about software testing, QA processes, agile, and other general geekery. My name's Jem Hill, and I'll be your host. Hello, listeners. Welcome to episode 16. This is kind of a bit of a weird one, because it's kind of two different episode ideas mushed into one, because they kind of fit better as one than they did as two. I'm hoping that the link is as smooth to everyone else as I think it is, but we'll see. It started with a blog post that I'm going to put in the show notes by Simon Pryor about the testing mindsets. And in it, he talks about testing as a process and QA's process and how it starts as soon as possible. And yeah, how it's very hard for testers to step away and say, right, this is done, this feature is done. And testing is obviously never done, but at some point, especially if it's a feature that a project that has got clients and stakeholders, you've got to eventually be in a position where you feel comfortable releasing it to the client or the users. So there's got to be that sort of definition of done there. But overall, I don't think it's possible for testing to ever be done, like documentations and websites and apps in general. There's no sort of that's it, we're never going to work on it again. It's that's good enough for this release, we'll add more into each iteration. And that kind of cut in with some stuff I've been reading about exploratory testing and sort of testing and creativity and exploratory testing as a creative process, and all that kind of stuff came together into this episode, which I'm calling Creativity in Time and Space. So I want to start by talking about QA as a sort of creative process, because QA and testing has a very sort of stiff filling in boxes, checking things off a list image. You know, it's all stuffy gatekeepers, all killjoys saying things like, well, technically, and don't get me wrong, right? Sometimes, especially if I've got a new feature coming to me, I will do the checking things off. I'll go through all the steps of checking stuff before I do the exploratory testing, because it's nice to have that as a basis. It's nice to have that so I get familiar with the feature. And sometimes if I've got a lot of stuff going on, or if I've got a complex problem in the back of my mind, sometimes just turning my brain off and doing the checking stuff is, you know, it's quite nice, and I will send stuff back if something's been missed. But that's such a small part of QA and testing. I think the rest of it can be described as a much more sort of creative process almost, because obviously with exploratory testing, the idea is you do everything sort of not ad hoc but on the fly, bringing new information as you find it and applying that new information that you may not have had before you started testing in the same sort of test session. And this kind of ties in with features very rarely being like correct, but they can be right or wrong for what you're building. And it's looking at that and how it works and going, well, yes, it's right, but is it the most right? Can we make it better? Or when it, you know, do we need to change a little bit of it? And it's that kind of subjective, almost, QA in testing that has the creative side to it, I think. And that's the bigger part of the job. I mean, at the end of the day, sometimes with the really subjective stuff, you have just got to go to the client and go, right, you can decide if this is correct for you, or, I mean, if this is right for you, sorry. But you can look at things like user pathways and flows and patterns and contexts and the features and some of the stuff that sometimes can be a little bit harder to write acceptance criteria for, especially for a feature in a larger project. But it's still important. It's still what you've got to look at. And that's where the exploratory sort of on-the-fly almost testing comes into it, I think. Because there is also looking at what you're doing as a whole project, as I just mentioned. So as well as testing each feature in isolation, obviously you've then got to test it across with all the other features that you've built that it's got to integrate with, and making sure that everything is consistent, not only within the feature, but within the project as well. So you've got to then, once you've got that feature down, you've got to take a step back and then make sure that it works as a whole. And if it integrates with third-party systems, you've got to make sure that obviously you can't control what happens on the third party end most of the time, but you can control sort of as much as you can your end of the integration and make sure that that works fine. So you've got to spread out and test all these things that are kind of sometimes subjective, sometimes not. And you've got to take best practices into account, but for the context of the project that you've got, which requires a bit more flexibility in how you look at things. And going back to Simon's blog post, and this is a bit of an aside, but this kind of stuff, when I QA, and as Simon said in the blog post, it starts right at the start of the project. As soon as you get in on the planning phase, mentally I'm testing out the requirements and the plans just to see what's happening, so I can get to grips with the project, so I've got background and context, and I can help the client refine requirements that way if I'm trying to figure out how everything works and trying to test it from a testing point of view, and the developer's doing it from a developer point of view, so you've got a dual sort of attack on the problem, so we can each see what's going on from our own point of view and bring all that knowledge to the table and help refine the requirements and make sure that the planning is going well and refining the acceptance criteria as well. And that's why that's important to get that in as soon as possible, because you get that background and it means you've got that basis of testing before there's even something to test, but you're testing the project itself. All of which kind of links to the second issue I've been talking about, which is something else that's been occupying a lot of my mind recently. And that is one of time boxing my testing off. Balancing priorities, making sure that I've tested enough that we're happy to give the feature to the client, and also not spending too much time testing, making sure that we meet all the other deadlines and priorities of the business and the stakeholders and everything else. It's hard to say, yes, this is done definitively. Obviously, you've got definitions of done and risks and things like that, which is something I want to talk about in another episode. But I have to say to myself, right, I found all the obvious bugs, but at the end of the day, there's going to be something somewhere, I'm sure. The user's going to use it in their way because they know how they use their system best, so they probably might have some workflows that I'm not familiar with, maybe, or just a method of using computers that I'm not familiar with. And so I generally expect some usability changes or bugs that are going to come from way the client specifically interacts with the system that I have missed from an individual point of view and from an internal processes point of view. And I've kind of learned to expect that I can't get every single bug, and there's always going to be really edge cases that I'm going to miss. But there's always a niggle of doubt when I accept something. You know, sometimes I'll wake up at 3 a.m. with a scenario that I've missed in my head for a specific story, which I'll go on to test the next day. And there was one case when I did do the waking up at 3 a.m. with a scenario that I hadn't tested, but I'd passed the story. I went into work the next day, I tested the scenario, it didn't work. So I pulled the story back, rejected it, and said, look, I know I previously passed this, but there's this scenario where I found this bug. And the developers sat down and ended up going, yeah, and rejecting the story and validating the bug and working it, and I tested it again. So that was like last year. So part of it is because I'm still a newbie. I'm still new to this process. As you get more experience, you get familiar with the more edge cases, especially within a project, and you get more familiar with things, but there's always going to be issues, I think, and there's always going to be that niggle in the back of my mind. As much as QA is a team effort and it is the responsibility of everyone, QA is still the gatekeeper in a way, because it still has to go through QA. I am still a tester on the QA team. I am responsible for carrying out that testing. So there are expectations there. And I also want to contribute to good code. I want to make people admire my work. I want to help the developers do good work. So I think I'll always have that niggle of doubt in the back of my mind, which makes it really hard for me to step back and go, right, this is done. But I can't burn through a project's entire budget testing. I can't delay other things because I'm testing too extensively, to the point of not being able to prioritise correctly, you know, to the point of going, well, there's this tiny little bug, I don't know if they'll be able to live with it or not. Or there's this visual thing that isn't probably quite as perfect as it maybe could be, but it would take 4 years to fix, and I'm not sure that's something the client would want us to spend our time on if we gave them the option. They probably won't even realise it's there, but I have. That sort of issue, are you focusing on the wrong priorities or prioritising too much into too small a detail? When we're estimating we generally stick to a rule of roughly 20% of dev time testing a feature. So 12 minutes testing for every hour spent developing, that is incredibly vague because you can't estimate testing. It depends on so many different factors, up to including if you find a bug, where that bug is, how obvious it is, if it's going to come up right at the start, or if it's an edge case, if it's not reproducible every single time, if it only happens intermittently. All those factors kind of contribute to how long it takes to test a feature, as well as any special requirements from the client on around which devices we test it on and things like that. Because, again, it's got to be very vague, because I can spend a lot of time testing features, especially the more complex ones, and sometimes you have got to stand back and go, right, it fits the definition of done, the risk level is appropriate. I've gone through the most obvious test cases. Sometimes if it's a really meaty feature, I'll take a 5-minute mental break, and then I'll come back to it again, and I'll just take a look at it with a bit of fresh eyes to make sure that everything looks okay. And I think that's, you've got to be able to take that step back and go, right, okay, I'm now releasing control of it. I'm confident enough that I've got it right and that I've hit all the things and now I'm done. Like I said, this is where definition of done and risk assessment comes in, I think. Otherwise, I don't think I'd ever be done. I think I just keep poking at it and finding new bits and pieces to test until it just got unfeasible. And I'm going to wrap it there. And next week I'll be talking more about priorities and risks and time boxing. So I will see you in a week's time. Bye. And that's it for this episode. Thank you for listening and be sure to join me in a week's time for the next episode. In the meantime, please do check out letstalkabouttests.xyz where all show notes will be posted. You can contact the show at letstalkabouttests@gmail.com and follow the show on Twitter at letstalktests. My Twitter is @gem_hill. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review on iTunes, it always helps. Thanks, and bye!